What's up, all you listeners out there? I don't have shit prepared for this podcast, but decided that I needed to do something. The song that you heard on the very beginning of this was a song that I've done myself, just a demo. It's not on Spotify, it's not on iTunes or anything like that, like, you know, songs that my band has. But just something sitting on my hard drive. But figured I'd post that, put it at the beginning of this podcast because, I don't know, the title says a lot. For me, anyways, I Can't Give. That's what the name of the song is. And the title of this podcast. I just feel that there's a lot of shit in my life. I've gone through a lot of shit in my life. And of course, if you're an avid listener, I'm sure that you've already heard most of this in previous podcasts, but I just felt that I needed to open some pages in the book that is called Me, I guess, if that's the way you want to put it. I don't know. I really don't know the reason why for this podcast. I don't know. I had a conversation last night with this woman now I'm talking to who I really care about, and I want her to get to know me better, and I just feel that maybe it's time to basically take that shovel and fucking upheave some of the bullshit that's gone on with me for, you know, the last fucking 20-some years. I don't know, it's hard for me to talk about a lot of shit. I mean, there's points to where I can easily talk about it, but then there's points to where, you know, I just shut the fuck up and I'm not going to say a goddamn word to you. But I don't know, I had a conversation last night, and if I can remember right, the conversation started off she asked me what my fears are, and I put, you know, failing as a father and dying alone. Those are my two biggest fears. And she said back, because I asked her the same question, she responded with, you know, watching her mother suffer with the disease that she has and dying, you know, dying alone, so to speak. And my rebuttal to that was, you know, I watched my mother suffer. I was 17 years old when she passed, but I had watched her for 2 years struggling with breathing, with doing everyday things in her life. And I was an asshole child, you know. I at that time I thought the world was in the palm of my hand, and I got so irritated with her because I had to do a lot of things. My dad decided that he wasn't going to be around a whole lot and always stayed away, even though he lived there, you know, lived with us. And so yeah, I was an asshole child. Said a lot of horrible things to her that I regret to this day. But yeah, she struggled for quite some time, and I watched her for about 2 to 3 years struggling with it, you know, going out in public, having to carry around an oxygen tank. Like, I couldn't imagine that. I'd rather be put in the ground than have to do that and people fucking stare at me. But but what I'm getting at is I had to watch her suffer, plain and simple. And the last time I saw my mother, I was 17 years old, and woke up that morning, I was out of school at the time because it was summer, but woke up that morning, and she's like, I can't breathe, you know, call the ambulance. Called 911. They came, and with me being the type of person that did not like dealing with extreme situations. My dumbass hid in the fucking bathroom. I stood in that bathroom until one of the paramedics came down the hall and said, "Hey, your mom wants to talk to you before she leaves." And I was like, okay. So I went to her. She was on the gurney. Yeah, that's the correct word. I don't mean to laugh, but that's my defense mechanism with a lot of things. But she was on the gurney, on the stretcher. And she told me she loved me, whatnot. I told her that I loved her too, you know. I'll see her. So she got put in the ambulance and taken away to the hospital. Well, I had planned on going to see her, you know, but I was in my own fucking world. I was doing drugs, drinking all the time, and maybe I was trying to escape something. I really don't know now that I think about it, but at that time I was trying to do something, whatever it was, trying to escape reality, which actually I still try to do to this day, even though I'm almost fucking 30. But I just remember waking up the day that I was supposed to go see her. It was the day that I was supposed to go see her in the hospital, which I had seen her before. You know, she was in Rushville Hospital, Rushville, Illinois. Then she got moved to Quincy Blessing Hospital. But I actually got woken up that day, the day I was supposed to go see her, and by my dad. My dad was like, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that your mom passed away last night." And I didn't know how to take it. And I mean, I was half asleep and I went back to sleep. Woke back up and there's a shit ton of people from the family outside just talking and, you know, and all that. You know, how everything goes when someone passes away, I guess. I didn't know how to deal with it. I mean, how the fuck do you deal with that when you're 17 years old and you're, your mother, who's been your support system, your backing for all your life, how do you deal with her not being there anymore? I went through a period for a long time of just alienating myself from anyone who was trying to get close. You know, drank, did drugs, just, I wanted to make myself numb. Like, I didn't want to be around, I didn't want to be involved in anything. Yeah, I mean, I had girlfriends here and there, but it's like, fuck that. Every relationship I've ever been in has fucking failed. But to fast forward to the age of 22, I witnessed my father pass away right in front of me. And that was something else. That's what's bringing up this whole charade, this whole ramble, is because the conversation that I had last night with this woman that I'm talking to, I described to her how my parents died, you know, and I just said how, you know, how my mother passed away. But with my father is a little bit different. I moved back in with him, I think, around the age of 20, but I was never home. I mean, technically, that's where my address was, you know, with him. And I was always gone. I was always here and there, crashing with a friend, crashing here and there, and blah, blah, blah. But the night before he passed away, and this is the age of 22, so. But the night before he passed away, I don't know, something told me, something was getting at me to where it was telling me, like, hey, go home, go, you know, go see your dad. Which, it's not like I fucking abandoned him all the time. You know, I was always making an appearance, you know, talking to him. And I was always talking to him on the phone because he was always blowing my phone up. Which I miss to this day. I miss seeing my phone pop up saying, you know, Dad's calling. But yeah, I came home the night before he passed away, hung out with him, just bullshitted, you know, we watched some TV, and long story short, I eventually retired to my bedroom, and he was a big couch sleeper, which, fuck, I am now, like, I'm always sleeping on my couch, so, you know, I've got tendencies from my father, and, he never slept in his bed. He was always a couch sleeper. I never understood that. I think it was just a noise or a TV thing where he had to have something playing in the background where he had to sleep. Which, when I was younger, I always had music playing. And still to this day, I have something playing on the TV when I go to sleep. But, yeah, I retired to my bedroom, went to sleep. Morning came, and I always had my stereo up loud. Always listen to music when I, you know, went to sleep, and it was always up loud. And usually, whenever I was home, my dad in the morning would fucking yell and say, "Turn that shit down, you know, turn that shit down." I heard him yelling this morning, or that morning. I heard him yelling, and I opened the door real quick. I'm like, "What?" You know, yelling at him, and there he was in the front room, on the couch, saying, "Hey, I can't breathe, you know, call the ambulance." And I was like, fuck. I was like, all right. So, got the cell phone, called 911, and I didn't know what was going on with him. You know, he really didn't tell me. All he said to me was, I can't breathe. So, I told the paramedics on the phone that my father can't breathe. Can you please send an ambulance to, you know, such and such address? Which was Country Lane Apartments in Mount Sterling. And that was that. Well, he got up from the couch after I got off the phone, went to the bathroom, vomited, got sick, came back out. He sat down in the nearest chair that he had. And he's like, "Get me a glass of water. Get me a glass of water." So I got him a glass of water, and he took a drink of it, handed it back to me. I took it. I put it on the table. And I hear him mutter, he was saying, you know, hurry up, you know, for the paramedics. And I was like, they're coming, you know, there's nothing I can do. I called them, you know, it's not like I can make them hurry. I wish they did, because he'd probably still be here to this day. And I wish I would have told them exactly what was going on, because I later realized that he was fucking having a heart attack. Technically, he had a heart attack the night before in his sleep, and fluid built up around his heart and his lungs and everything, and it didn't get to him till the next morning. So he passed away from heart failure. But, yeah, he was saying, hurry up. I put the glass of water on the table. And I hear him mutter something else, saying, "I can feel it." To this day, I will remember that. I will remember that to my deathbed. My father saying, "I can feel it." And I responded with, "What? What'd you say?" And he didn't respond. There was nothing there. His head started swiveling back and forth from left to right. And the back of his head was hitting the wall behind him. And I was like, stop. And, you know, he wasn't being responsive. Then finally his head just drooped. And I realized he was gone. And as soon as that happened, the fucking paramedics decide to show up. Now, and I'm just outside the fucking building, just fucking yelling like, "Hurry the hell up. Hurry, get in here." But by the time he got in there, it was too fucking late. And plus, my dad had a do not resuscitate fucking thing, you know. Whatever that is, really. But so, yeah, I watched my father pass away, and I'm just bringing this up because the conversation I had with this woman I'm talking to last night, and I've gone through a lot of bullshit in my life, And many a time have I struggled with taking my own life because of those things. But now that I'm a father, you know, I mean, I've recently had a fucking mental health scare to where I wanted to end my life. But just thinking about my son, you know, it always brings me back to the reality that if you take your life, you know, he's going to live with that for the rest of his life. You know, like, he's going to be thinking, like, what the hell? I wasn't enough. He had to, you know, my dad had to end his life. You know, I mean, I got a lot of problems going on. I got a lot of problems right now. I mean, fuck, I just quit my job last week and I don't have a backup. And I mean, I got a little bit of money saved, but that's not going to last me very fucking long. So I've been applying everywhere I can. But I'm not going to let that get me down. You know, I still, you know, I'm not going to let the man get me down. I mean, that's a stupid fucking thing to say. But the only thing guaranteed in life is fucking death and taxes. So we're all going to die and we're all going to pay taxes regardless. But I mean, that's what everybody does. You know, no matter what you do, you work. No matter what your profession is, you pay taxes, you pay your bills, and then you die. What kind of fucking life is that? I've struggled with that my entire life up to this point. Like, there's got to be more to it than that. Shouldn't there be? I mean, it dumbfounds me to the point to where I get into a depressive state and I don't, you know, I just sleep all fucking day. I don't even want to fucking venture out. I don't want to even fucking do anything. I don't even want to do a podcast. And I got all these things I want to do. Like, I want to start writing a book, which I have ideas for. Like, I want to start writing about all the bullshit I've gone through, all the problems I've had, my life up to this point. And I want to keep doing music, you know. I want to do music all the time. Of course, I've had a writer's block for fucking ever now and haven't come up with anything. But that doesn't keep me from rehearsing with my band because, you know, those are four other dudes that are coming up with stuff. So it's like, you know, whatever they come up with, I can add something to it, you know. That's not really a big deal. And we've been working on that. And I wish it would come a lot. I wish the band would come along a lot faster than it is because I've been doing music for fucking 10 years now. I've been doing shows and gigs for 7 and I'm tired of being in that fucking studio, in that rehearsal space of ours all the fucking time. I want to get out and fucking play shows. I want people to hear us. I mean, yeah, we got a social media, you know, imprint right now. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on fucking all the digital platforms and shit, but that only does so much. I mean, I'm an old school guy. If you're not out there playing live, then you're not a fucking band in my eyes. I hate to say that about my own band, but I've just been getting fucking frustrated. I want us to fucking do shows. I want us to get out there and meet people. You know, face to face, you know, instead of fucking having a goddamn phone in our fucking hand commenting on fucking stuff. That's not connecting. I'm sorry, it's not. Technically, you know, everyone's connected with everybody through their phones and through the internet, but I don't know, conversation has fucking died. Verbal conversation, you know, being face to face, it seems to be just something that's fucking plagued now. And it just seems to be like a disease. Like, no one wants to go out. Like, you know, if I sent you a message, you could automatically choose not to fucking see that. You could just exit out of it and show that you haven't seen it. But if I'm face to face with you and I say something to you, you have to have a rebuttal and we have to fucking, you know, have this conversation. Like, I'm not forcing people to have conversations with someone that they're not wanting to have, but Jesus Christ. I mean, I wasn't brought up in this you know, this digital age. I mean, yeah, I mean, I had internet as a kid, but it wasn't like this. It was like fucking random chat rooms, I think, when I was like fucking 13. But we didn't have all this bullshit that you have now, where everyone, every band, every artist, every performer, every person that has a small business is advertising on Facebook and just blowing everything up. The internet has become saturated with a bunch of stuff, and it's hard for people to get fucking noticed. And that's a disconnect right there. And that's, you know, and people choose who they want to talk to, you know, who they want to interact with. And I feel sorry for the people that have had a lifetime full of neglect and things like that, because still being connected this way, you still feel fucking neglected. And I fucking feel sorry for that, because fuck, I'm a goddamn hermit. I don't ever go out anymore. I mean, it doesn't help that I don't have the fucking money ever to fucking go out. But I just feel that we are straying farther and farther away from human interaction. And everyone wants to just sit in front of their screens. I don't know. I'm kind of scared of the future. I'm kind of scared to see what my son's going to deal with when he gets older. Because I mean, because I can't, I don't know what the fuck's going to, what's going to happen. I mean, I'm glad that I'm doing this type of stuff. I'm glad that I'm, you know, I got fucking 3 computers just filled with stuff that I've put on there, whether it be music, podcast, writing, or any sort of writing that I've done, just for something for him to look back on. And the shit I see on Facebook all the time of these parents always posting pictures of their children. I understand that you can set your privacy settings a certain way, but fuck, when I was growing up, my fucking parents weren't posting all about me. If you wanted to see a picture of me, you'd come over to the house. I mean, I guess someone's timeline or someone's profile on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or whatever it is, that, you know, that's the new age of coming, the new age way of coming over to someone's house and, you know, seeing their life. But it's not how I was brought up. I mean, if you came over to my parents' house, you saw pictures of the kids, me, you know, all the kids and everything. And I mean, I got photo albums out the ass in my closet. Just pictures of our family and the lot, you know, our heritage. I don't know. I'm scared because, I mean, I don't take a lot of pictures myself. I know my son's mom does. But I've posted a few of my son, but I'm not this type of person that posts every fucking day about the inner workings of my life. I try not to. I mean, yeah, there are rants and rambles. I'm always trying to advertise my podcast and advertise the band, but that's what I think of Facebook. That's what I think of it. You know, like, I'm trying to get these ventures that I'm doing, I'm trying to get them popular. I'm trying to get people to notice them, because I'm currently working on an online t-shirt shop that has funny sayings and inspirational quotes on them, you know, or other things. I haven't really put it out there, but I'm trying to work on it. Plus, I want to get back into writing. I want to get to the point to where I can fucking work at home and be comfortable and not have to clock in and work for some fucking stupid ass company that don't give a fuck about you. I'd rather be able to work on my own time and have, you know, the other amount of time to spend with my son, spend with my family, spend with my friends, and do the things that I like to do. I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, and they always talk about that type of shit. And I listen to other podcasts by other comedians that always talk about that shit. And they're always like, you got to find what you love to do, and you got to, you know, you got to take a hold of it. You got to take, you know, grab it by the fucking balls, so to speak. And it's like, yeah, it's easy for you guys to do. Maybe, I know when they first started out, it wasn't, but fuck, I live in a fucking town that's just basically a four-way stop with a couple houses. I don't know. I just feel very, very disconnected right now. Trying to find my way. I've got a lot of past shit that's bubbling up and trying to corrupt my mind. Because I'm the type of person, like I said earlier, that likes to bury shit. And I've been wanting to get the shovel to fucking, you know, upheave everything. But maybe that's not something that I need to do. I really don't know. All I know is that life goes on. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm not perfect at it. I mean, who the fuck is perfect at it? I feel that I can't give enough of myself to what I want to do to the people that I care about. I feel that I'm a fucking asshole most of the time because, hell, the last band practice that my band had, I felt that I was an asshole. I made a stupid comment to my bass player. And I've been feeling like shit ever since about it. I don't know. That's another thing. I think the band needs to have a sit down and discuss what the future holds, honestly. I'm hoping that happens soon because something needs to happen. Because if we're just going to stay in that rehearsal spot, I don't know. I can't keep devoting my time to that if it's not progressing to a point to where we're getting out and playing in front of people. Word of mouth is extraordinary. Yeah, social media is, you know, a big thing, but if you're playing live in front of people, it's amazing feeling. I love it. I don't care if it's 5 people to fucking 20 people to 100 people. Either way, it's a fucking amazing feeling because if one person comes away from that fucking show and relates to anything you've said or anything you've done, then that's awesome. But I don't know. My mind is going very many different ways and it's very hard for me to pinpoint certain things I want to do. Pinpoint what I need to do. I'm hoping to find the motivation to fucking get myself better, to get whatever I'm doing better, to spend more time with my son, to spend more time on the things that I need to do, spend more time with the band and get them up and going, or get them out to playing shows. I'm a broken fucking record. I keep saying that, but I don't know. Something needs to happen. I'm just sitting here waiting. I mean, I'm putting in the fucking the hours into doing stuff, but I've come to the realization that, oh my God, nothing comes cheap. Nothing comes free. And it takes a lot of work no matter what you do. But as always, I just want people to be kind because, like I've said in previous podcasts at the end, you don't know what the fuck someone's going through. I mean, I could have kept going on and on and on about fucking everything that's going on in my mind, but like I said, it's going 100 miles an hour, going every which way, and I really don't have the patience to fucking sit down here and pinpoint everything. But avid listener, I do appreciate the fact that you are listening and that you support this podcast. I'm hoping that it grows and grows and grows. And hopefully I get some fucking people to have conversations with, because I'm tired of doing this by myself. the next podcast I'm hoping to do that I post is with my lead singer. If not, it'll be with somebody else, because the next one that I do is not going to be by myself. This is the last one by myself. The next one will be a conversation with someone else. I'm horrible. I trip on my words like crazy. But as always, be kind, have empathy. And until next time, this has been the Deluded and Dazed Podcast. Take it easy. Say no.